Today's scripture comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 34 and 36, and the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." No, if my enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks, Eric. Friends, today we continue in our sermon series as Eric has read for us from the Gospel of Matthew and Paul's letter to the Romans. And this sermon series is entitled, "Now What?" What are those truths that we can cling to? As Pastor Emily had shared a couple of weeks ago, there was a refrain from Psalm 136 as we began this new year and this new sermon series that helps to keep us grounded. Do you remember it from a couple of weeks ago? Let's do it together. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let's do it one more time. God's steadfast love endures forever. This is what everything is based on what everything flows from. Back in 2018, you may remember, Pastor Rob Lau and over 500 people from here, this beautiful church and this beautiful people known as Ebenezer, had conversations to discern what God was calling us to do out of that love in this next season. What is God calling us to do and to be as we are the people of God? Out of those gatherings came a mission statement to transform lives through Jesus Christ as we connect and heal and bring hope to the world. You've heard that a lot over the past couple of weeks. And two, our core values came out of that: relationship, discipleship, and community. Let's say that together. Relationship, discipleship, and community. Out of Focus 2025 came some short and long-term visions that we continue to strive for. And even though the ground may have shifted a little bit because of COVID and other uncertainties, we are still pressing on because that is what God has called us to do. Amen? That was weak. Amen? God calls us to persevere whatever happens. For the past 2 weeks, Pastor Emily has been aiding us in what our core values are and modeling for us and giving us descriptors as we are the towels. And every time we look at a towel, we look to relationships. how Jesus was in relationship with those who came across his path, how Jesus was in relationship with his disciples, and how he humbled himself and washed the feet of one another. And that is what true relationship calls and begs of us. And two, we were reminded of a mirror, not a mirror to check ourselves out. I'm looking pretty good this morning. But a mirror to help us see the face of Jesus Christ in ourselves and how we are called to be like Jesus in all that we say and do. And this morning, I want to share with you the community core value. Our third core value is like a seed, and how we are supposed to share in our community with one another and plant seeds, the seeds that have been planted in us, and how we are called to share that with one another. Amen. Let's pray together. Holy God, you have called us here this morning, and we are grateful and thankful that you have woken us up from our slumber. And God, help us to be your people. Help us to be who you have called us to be, to go and do, to be like Jesus in all that we say and all that we do. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. God, you are our rock and you are our redeemer. And all of God's people said, over the past 2 years, we have been living in unprecedented times. And I know that's a little bit of a dirty word now, unprecedented times. Here, we have been going through change and transition, and that has become our norms. According to an old adage by a Roman philosopher and a Greek philosopher from the early 500s BCE, his name was Heraclitus, he said, change is the only constant in life. That's a long time ago, and it has continued to this day. Change is the only constant in life. We have a love-hate relationship with change. How many of you love change? Really? That's it? You're in church. Okay, come on. Don't lie. Do you love change? Do you hate change? Wow. Okay. Some of us look forward to it. What about you? Do you look forward to change? Some. Do you despise change? You might hate it, but you don't despise it. So that's good. Both change and transition bring with them unknowns and uncertainties. What is this next season going to look like in my life? What about in the world? What is this next season going to look like? Am I going to be able to handle all of that change and transition that comes next? My grandfather used to say that change is inevitable. There is some change that is going to bring about good, and there's some change that's going to bring about bad. Some things are going to make it better, some things are going to make it worse. But nonetheless, change is going to happen, and things are going to be different. Even now, 22 months into a pandemic, some of the immediate changes have become our reality, while there continues to be new changes and new issues on the horizon. Working from home and a distorted sense of time, I'm glad I remember that it was Sunday and I showed up this morning. Has that happened to you before? You don't know what day it is. There are shortages on toilet paper still and other paper products. And even 22 months into the pandemic, as the conundrum with toilet paper has somewhat ceased, there becomes different shortages like pet food, cereal, laundry soap, employees at almost every place of business. The change to remote and asynchronous learning was welcomed at the beginning of the pandemic, but now students and teachers are mourning because there is no such thing as snow days anymore. Yeah, amen. All of this compiled with the fact that we need a break. There is stress. There is anxiety. There is depression, even before COVID, and now it's just heightened. Overall, mental health and substance abuse has continued to increase across the globe. And there is change and transition happening simultaneously. And we don't know what is to come, where to turn. Where in your life over the past 2 years have you experienced change and transition? According to some psychologists, there is a difference between change and transition, where change is external, transition is internal. Change is imposed by external things, outside circumstances, and brought about by unforeseen conditions, while transition, on the whole, is a reorientation of your life, a process of redefining yourself. According to Dr. William Bridges, without transition, change is just moving the furniture. Unless transition actually happens, it's just a rearrangement of your life that's not going to take root. Unless you have some mental preparation, unless you take a moment to adapt in that season, it's not going to take root. I grew up on a large apple farm in northeastern Ohio where we grew over 30 different types of apples. And I often think back to those wise words from my grandfather, words that essentially became the core value of my family's life. And in relationship and embodiment, my grandfather instilled in our family the importance of tending to our roots. My grandfather would often say, "Don't forget where you came from, but always remember who you are called to be in Jesus." Two, he instilled in us the importance of relationships, both on the farm and in the community. But the biggest thing that he instilled in us was the importance of planting seeds. Seeds of God's love, seeds of God's grace, seeds of God's compassion and mercy. Planting what you have experienced in relationship with God and the church and others, and embodying what you have learned in discipleship. And taking all of that, taking it out into the community to plant even more seeds. My friends, we are not depositories of God's love and grace. We are its vessels. Amen? That's good news. Amen? We are depositories. We are not depositories of God's love and grace. We are its vessels, the vessels through which God's love and grace flows to bless the community, to bless our church, to bless our world. We are called blessed to be a blessing, love to be a loving people. My friends, we are called to follow God in all of the ways that he calls us. Amen. Many years ago, there was a guy by the name of Reverend Dr. Joseph Haynes, and he was the director of the United Methodist Committee on Relief, also known as UMCOR. And he traveled to Calcutta, India, and he spent some time with Mother Teresa. And in his autobiography, Dr. Haynes writes that this was not the first time that he had met Mother Teresa, but in fact he had met her more times over the years, but this was his first time that he was able to travel to Calcutta and see her and shadow her in her work. At some point along the journey, Dr. Haynes looks over to Mother Teresa and says, "How? How can you do this day in and day out? How can you care for the least, the last, and the lost, those who are on the street day in and day out?" In the next moment, Mother Teresa turns to Dr. Haynes and hands him a newborn baby. And she says, "Dr. Haynes, what do you see in the face of that newborn baby?" Dr. Haynes says, "A child without much hope." A child without much hope. And he goes to give the baby back to Mother Teresa. She gently pushes the baby back into his arms and says, "Look again. Look again until you see the face of Jesus. And then you'll know how I do this day in and day out." That, my friends, is our call from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. To see the face of Jesus in all who come across our path, masks and all. This morning, I want you to look around. Look around the room and see the face of one another, and look at it until you see the face of Jesus. And those of you who are watching at home, if there is someone in your house, someone in the area that you are looking, look at them again and again. That's what we're called to do, to see the face of Jesus. Jesus says in our gospel lesson, "Come, you who have cared for the least, the last, and the lost. Come, you who have given food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, clothing to the naked. Come, you who have visited the imprisoned, cared for the sick, and welcomed the stranger, the outcast. Come and inherit that kingdom that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the earth. My friends, what we have here is what God is calling us to do in response to all that God has done for us. This is what Jesus says will truly show that you are my disciples, by how you care for one another, how you love one another, how you act towards one another. Out of this awareness, as we grow in our love for God and one another, we are called to then look at the world differently. We are called to look at the world through the eyes of Jesus. And by doing so, we become a different people, a better people. And the world becomes a better place, a different place. Think of the seeds that are planted out in the community by just living and loving like Jesus. That's a whole lot of seeds, amen? Think about it, a lot of seeds. Paul is then writing in our scripture passage from the Romans this extensive list of qualities or traits that our followers of Jesus are going to inherit, that we are supposed to do, that we are supposed to be. And these are the seeds, if you will, that are planted and nurtured by our relationship and by our discipleship in Christ. Be, do, Paul says. Paul's letter is about practical theology. It's what we must, what we should, what we ought to do as followers of Christ. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Paul is saying, be who you are. Specifically, be who you are, one that is in Christ. Structure your life. Deal with others as God has dealt with you. As followers of Christ, we have this mark, the mark of the crucified, who know who we are and whose we are. We're called to act in certain ways because we are followers of Christ. We have been made right with God. We believe that God has been made right with us. We once saw God as our foe. Now we see God as our friend. We once thought that God and the goodness of God, we were strangers to it, but we have been made close. Paul says in Romans that behavior that is good and right for the rest of the world isn't okay for you. More is expected of you. You are God's beloved, God's plan for winning back the world that has been gone astray. You are God's light in the darkness, God's cherished agents of the kingdom. And Paul says, now act like it. Let your love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Give to one another out of mutual honor and affection. Be enthusiastic in your service for the Lord. Help the saints. Celebrate with those who celebrate. Weep with those who weep. Associate with the poor and the lowly. Live in harmony with others. May that peace be all that you have. Do not let yourselves be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Time and time again, Paul says, you are a new creation in Christ. Those are the traits, the beautiful blossoms that have been sown, that have been nurtured, that have been cared for by the almighty hands of God. We are people redeemed by the cross of Christ and the empty tomb of Easter. People loved by the Almighty, and we are called to be a different people. Amen. We are redeemed people. We are Easter people, not only on Easter, but even today. Almost 2 years ago, as the pandemic altered and changed and shifted and transitioned some things, one thing remained constant: God's love. Amen. God's love that calls us into relationship with Him and with others. God's love that calls us to be and to do, that gives us purpose, that gives us our values, our identity, our mission as followers of Christ. That God's love that plants seeds in us and calls us to plant seeds with others. God's seeds of love, compassion, grace, and mercy. And my brothers and my sisters, you have continued to do that over the past 2 years. Even in the midst of a pandemic, you have continued to plant seeds of love and of grace and of mercy to all who have come across your path. from the Love Your Neighbor Network to drive-through communion to the Access Summer Mission Trip to Summer at the Park at Autumn Ridge to Vacation Bible School in your neighborhoods and even virtually to birthday drops for your children and your grandchildren to No Hunger Week to recognizing our first responders to the Go for Bow Race to building a backpack and now repacking a backpack at Moncure Elementary to s'mores kits for neighborhoods to National Night Out here in Stafford, to the Via Calorie Children's Area, and to the Stafford County Public Schools Bus Driver Appreciation. That's a whole lot of slinging seed. Amen? And it's not about the seed as it takes root and bears fruit. It's just about planting. Planting seeds of love and of grace and of mercy. Planting what you have experienced in relationship and what you have done in discipleship, what you have learned in your discipleship. There are some times when we're able to see the seed take root and bear fruit, and I want to share with you one of those times. In December, as we were concluding our Angel Tree Drive, where we collected over $5,000 for food and 500 gifts for 250 children, students, and seniors, we, Ebenezer, were able to be in partnership and community with many throughout that time, that Christmas season. And we got a call from a grandmother who was able to be in relationship with us, who received some goods, a coffee mug from our bus driver appreciation. And she called us and she said, "I've never known a church before that was so passionate about loving one another in the community. I've never known a church before that loved bus drivers so much that they would give you an awesome mug like this." And she called and she said that she fretted over how she was going to provide gifts for her children, her grandchildren, during this Christmas season. And our missions director, Amy Miller, was able to provide for her in that way. A seed that was planted that took root and bore fruit in relationship. A couple of weeks ago, we received a note in the mail from this woman and how that Christmas was forever changed for her because of the love and the compassion from you, the beautiful people of Ebenezer. Seeds planted in the community through relationship because of discipleship, all for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ. My friends, as you leave this place today, may you be reminded of that psalm that Pastor Emily lifted up, that God's steadfast love endures forever, and that out of that, that relationships are formed and disciples are called and made and seeds are sown and begin to blossom in ways that we could never fathom. Seeds. Go out, sling some seed. Amen.